If I'm spending money now, what is this going to look like? My taxes, should we be doing Roth conversions? Does that make sense? It doesn't make sense for everyone, no matter what anyone says. It's just like always waiting till the age of 70 before you take Social Security. Anytime you deal in absolutes, it's always wrong. Everyone's situation is completely different.
Is about more than just a regular gym routine. When was the last time you checked on your financial fitness? If you're feeling like you're falling behind, Ed Sedell is here to help with The Retirement Trainer, a podcast about helping you get into better financial shape. Every week, Ed talks about things you need to know to become more financially fit for your future. Learn about things like how much money will you need, financial mistakes other people often make, and how you can avoid them. Plus, details on The Retirement Fitness Plan, a plan Ed personally created to help you get to and through retirement by focusing on five key areas of your financial life. Learn more about The Retirement Fitness Plan when you visit egsifinancial.com and click on Processes. Then subscribe, follow, and listen to The Retirement Trainer on Apple Podcasts, your iHeart app, or whichever podcast platform you prefer.
It's The Retirement Trainer with Ed Sedell, a podcast about finding ways to help you become financially fit for your future, no matter what financial shape you're in now. Life is about cash flow. When you're working, you can depend on a paycheck. But what happens when you retire? Where is the money going to come from? Which accounts? What about taxes? And what about paying off debt? Then comes the question, when and how should I claim Social Security? This is Leanne Sedell, and here to help us with all our questions and to give us some guidance to stay in the best financial shape possible, the retirement trainer, Ed Sedell. Hi, Ed.
Hey, Leanne. You know what? Life is about cash flow, isn't it?
Well, we don't actually being that formal about it.
We don't think about it that way. What were you saying before we started? It's about what?
It's about the budget. You know, years and years ago, I can remember you and I, when we had a young family, and we would sit down to talk about nailing down a budget. And I remember it was the dreaded conversation in our home.
But, oh, it brought smiles, and it was like rainbows and puppy dogs.
Well, right? And what I'm going to tell you is it is just like working out. If you don't do it and continue to do it throughout your entire life, it's just more painful when you go to retire.
It becomes a true sore spot later on, doesn't it?
It is so much more difficult to start a workout when you are 65 than to just keep doing it from the beginning. And I think that if we're going to talk about the retirement trainer, the retirement fitness plan, talking about fitness, this is probably one of those muscles that you need to flex sooner than later.
You know what? When we talk about the income plan, right? So that economic life cycle, that's the first world, because it really looks at everything, and life is about cash flow. I mean, it really is. When you know you're working, you know how much is coming in. You still have to have that budget, right? Because you got to pay for your debts. Taxes are coming out. Healthcare costs are coming out. You're putting money away into savings, 401k, 403b, 457, whatever it is. And, you know, we were talking about this earlier today. When you retire, you know, where's that money coming from?
It's a stark change.
It is.
And I hear it all the time. I think people want just to go from getting that paycheck to whatever, taking that withdrawal from the account looking just like that paycheck. And that's fine. You can set it up that way. For the most part, that's the way your financial plan, the financial plan that we put together here, that's the reason we do it, is to make sure that, again, when you go to actually the wages that you earned to your retirement savings, that it's going to last the rest of your life.
That's, and then some.
Yes. Yeah.
And that's the stressor, right? It's people freak out. Hey, where's that money going to come from? When am I going to get that check? And that's what's so important, because it's not just you're talking about paying off debt and how and when to claim Social Security. What about taxes? That income plan, having that financial plan, that income plan is really an executive summary of your financial life.
Yeah.
I mean, it really is, because it takes all those things into consideration.
They use big words like liquidation strategy, but essentially what I want
people
to understand.
People talk every day, right?
It does matter where you're getting the money from.
It does.
It matters.
It's a huge deal in withdrawal order, right? Sequence of returns risk, you know, all of these industry terms, but really all it is, it's math. And the math is based on the outcome that you want to have happen. You know, everyone talks about the retirement puzzle. What is that? Well, the puzzle is, it's a picture. The picture you're painting of the outcome that you want to have happen. Once you know what that is, everyone wants to know how much money you make. You know, when you're putting a plan together, we start off with what? What do you spend? Right?
And actually, that's the most excruciatingly painful piece of document to get from any given.
Because it starts off with what you just said. It's a what?
It's a budget.
It's a budget. And it is enlightening. People are like, I have no idea. And what they find out is they probably spend a little bit more than what they think. As we go through this, I would say probably 99% of the families that we work with and serve, they're fine, right? If they did nothing and kept doing what they were doing, they're going to be fine. But really, it is understanding the math based on the outcome that you want to have happen, rearranging those pieces and parts, that puzzle, to paint that picture. It gives you the ability to do things you didn't know that you could. You know, from, let's just talk about Social Security.
Yeah.
You know, we're helping, you know, a pastor and his wife, a youth leader at a church, claiming Social Security, what makes sense. And just because of how we're rearranging the pieces of the puzzle, they get to keep more of the money and really build their savings in a very quick fashion. And that's what's important, is understanding how all of these things work together. And by doing it that way, you can reduce your taxes. And how, when you claim Social Security, could also have an impact on Irma, Medicare?
These are all the questions that, again, I wish it wasn't something that was so painful to sit down and lay out the numbers, because junk in is junk out, and people giving big overall, I hear it all the time. What do you think you spend on a monthly basis? And somebody will say, oh, 7,000. I spend 7,000. And then when they actually sit down, the bank statement is pretty easy document. When you're reviewing that bank statement, the big thing that is glaring to me every time that I look at it is total withdrawals given in that month. And I will say, even if you're just looking at that, and then you start dialing in on what you're spending your money on, we're not talking about making any changes at all. It's just being accurate about what that number is. That's the key component. I think everybody looks at that and they're, I'd rather say $7,000, but oh, in fact, you're spending $12,000. That will completely blow up a plan. 100%.
And we've actually had that happen. People complain, oh my gosh, I can't believe you're asking for this. Well, it's not about us. It's about them, right? I mean, we're trying to make sure that the expectations, we're giving them the outcomes. I keep saying outcome. That's really what it is. What they've worked so hard for and have earned, really deserve. But it's garbage in, garbage out, right?
And if we set that paycheck to the 7,000 that they need, they're going to be overdrawing the account every week, every month.
Conventional financial wisdom. So let's talk about income and that conventional financial wisdom, which was always, we were taught, right? Put money away pre-tax, let it grow tax deferred, because when you retire, there's a couple things that are going to happen, right? Number one, you're going to make less, right? So you're going to have less in taxes and you're going to spend less. That's the trifecta.
So not true. It's so not true.
And so you have all these families and individuals and just people in general that have all this money trapped pre-tax. And now all of a sudden, a lot of them don't need it, like the withdrawals that they're going to have to take for required minimum distributions now at 73, and soon to be, if you're born 1960 and later, you know, at 75. And so the income strategies overall play a huge part in this. So when do you start drawing down on your pre-tax IRAs? When do you start claiming Social Security? Everyone becomes so myopic. Well, I'm going to wait until the age of 70 to claim my Social Security, because that's when, you know, I get the largest amount.
Not if you only live to 75.
Yeah. You know what? Everyone's math is different. I mean, you really do have to run the numbers, because then when you claim it, it could have an impact on total income as it relates to IRMA, right? Means-based testing for Medicare. Basically, you're being penalized for being a good steward of your money. You just save too much the wrong way. That's number one. Number two, if you're claiming Social Security and then you have pensions and other sources of income, can you do Roth conversions? Does that make sense? And if you're still making money before full retirement age, are you going to get a discount? Because remember, Social Security, for every $2 above that limit, I think this year we'll just round it up to
24,480,
something like that.
Exactly.
For every $2 above that earned, you lose a dollar. right? And what did you say now? Because this is a big deal.
There's new policy. And basically, when you go to file for Social Security, they're going to ask you a question. They'll say, how much are you going to make this year in wages? There are people that are still working and they go and claim Social Security. And the most important thing that you need to understand is it used to be where you just got at the end of that tax year, April 15th of the next year, when you go to file your taxes, you would have to pay the government back for whatever the 85% of your Social Security that was going to be taxed because you made over that limit. Mm-hmm. That used to be. Now that is no longer. Now they withhold your check.
Until they hit that dollar
Until they hit that dollar amount that they're going to be over the $24,000. So I'll use an example. Somebody's going to make $50,000 in the given year. Then that would be close to the equivalent of 10 checks. So they're not going to receive any money till the 11th month. They'll withhold until the 11th month based off of them making $25,000 more than the threshold. So it's important that you know that because, like I said before, people were like, oh, I'll just go ahead and I'll apply for Social Security and I'll start it this month. And it doesn't work that way anymore. It's based off of the information that you give to the representative who is filing.
Even if it's wrong.
Exactly. And
it is. So these claiming strategies, right, that we're talking about, you know, you may make, would you say, $50,000, okay, in Social Security.
But you're self-employed and you write off a lot.
You write off a lot. Or you can fully fund your 401k and it reduces it down below that limit. And so you're making that, but you're really not because you put it away pre-tax. And so now you're in a lower income bracket, tax bracket, because provisional income formula for Social Security.
It's not like you get that money back.
You don't get that money back. It's just gone, right? And so make sure you understand your own math. Everybody's math is different. Everybody's wants and needs are different. Everyone's outcome is different. And so really when we're looking at cash flow, when we're looking at income, it's not one-dimensional. I mean, you've got to look at the bigger picture and how your investments, the growth of the investments, required minimum distribution. You know, if you've got a couple, you and your spouse, or just you, you have a pension, Social Security, depending on what that is. Now, all of a sudden, you know, you're 10 years out from your required minimum distributions. You know, you have $1 million and rule of 72, right, which is 7.2% every 10 years, your money's going to double, or at 10% every 7.2 years, your money's going to double. So let's just say that at, you know, 75, now that's $2 million. Well, I'm just going to round it, right? Just say it's roughly about 4%, give or take a little bit for the required minimum distributions. So now all of a sudden, you know, that's $80,000 on top of your pension, on top of your Social Security. Did you just hit Irma? Did it put you into a higher tax bracket?
Especially if you're single.
If you're single, absolutely. And then here's the other thing too. When you're looking at this, you've got the senior $6,000. Senior bonus, right? And that's per person. Okay. And if it's a single, it stops after $75,000 in income, that it's 6% for every dollar earned above that in reduction. And if you're married, filing joint, and you're both 65 and older, that's $12,000 or 12% reduction. Okay. For every dollar earned above that. So there's an earn out phase or a phase out, I guess.
Yes.
I should say.
Pretty much. It's, I believe for married people, it's $200,000.
$250,000.
Okay.
I think it's 250, 150, 250.
Is that what it
is?
I
couldn't remember until you just said that. I'm like, okay.
I can only tell you the amount of times we've sat through the new big, beautiful bill and all the changes that were made.
We have read that so many. It's very exciting. It's a good read.
Oh, wow.
It's a good read. But, you know, as you're going through all of these things, you know, you can't just look at income now. You have to look at income in the future based on longevity and everything else.
And also what you're going to account for taxes.
Yes.
We sit here and we act like, okay, great, we got this tax reduction. But I am going to tell you, with the debt, the overall country in the debt situation we're in.
It's all going to go away. It's only $40 trillion.
Yes.
That's all it is.
And if that is going to be all of our CPA friends out there, that is the biggest thing that I think everybody agrees on. Taxes are going to go up.
Yeah. I tell everyone taxes, everyone says it's permanent. They're kind of written in pencil. But what I mean is they're permanent until they're changed. And sometimes they stack other taxes on top of them, like the Secure Act. There's all these different things that affect income now and in the future. And Before you get ready to retire, there's a couple phases of realization. The first thing is, can I retire? And what does that look like? Okay. And this is what I want to have happen. What people don't realize is they don't spend less. They typically spend more when they retire, right?
Got all that time.
They got all that time. Bucket list, baby, right? Usually 10 to 15% more, not including inflation. That's on top of inflation. And, you know, and then depending on when they retire and their age, because they're young and healthy, they do more things. Then they're like, all right, we're tired of this after 10, 15 years. And so their spending drops off and then it spikes again dramatically because
healthcare.
Of health, right? So you really have to look at these things. All right. So if I'm spending money now, what is this going to look like? My taxes, should we be doing Roth conversions? Does that make sense? It doesn't make sense for everyone, no matter what anyone says. It's just like always waiting till the age of 70 before you take Social Security. Anytime you deal in absolutes, it's always wrong. Everyone's situation is completely different. I mean, we run these scenarios all the time for Roth conversions, and then we check, we recheck, we check again. And then what do we say? What's the last thing? Check with your CPA.
Absolutely. And from year to year.
Year to year,
it changes.
Yes. And that, I mean, you should be doing a year-end tax planning meeting, you know, before you get ready to retire. So can I retire? What does it look like? All right. Now, how much do I really need? Bucket list. What are the things that I'm planning on doing? Then you bump it up a little bit. And then, you know, about 45 days, you create your paycheck. And that paycheck is withdrawal order. Where is that money going to come from? Where are my taxes going to come from? If you're retiring before the age of 65, how am I going to pay for that gap insurance, that healthcare coverage? All of the things that you currently have, you've got to make sure that you can fund those and hit all your needs and goals. And then once you retire, it doesn't change, except for now you can get in the habit. You do that year-end tax planning meeting this time of year, you know, September, October. And you make sure before the end of the year that you're on target, you're on goal for where you should be, and you review each and every year, should you do Roth conversions? Well, how much money did you pull out this year? And, you know, we had to do a remodel, we needed a new car. Should we convert as much? Yes or no? And run the math. Now, how about next year? What are we planning on? You know, what makes the most sense? And create that paycheck next year, because as you're doing Roth conversions, that withdrawal order from each account, where that money's coming from, out of each account is going to change from year to year, depending on what's going on in your life. Roth conversions, are you doing them, not doing tax code changes, right? And so that's why you have to do that every year. And it really should be between all your advisors, right? Because we can give the absolute best advice in the world, but we're not CPAs, although we work with a lot of CPAs, right? And your CPA, as great as they are, could be giving you the best advice in the world. But if people aren't talking to each other, yeah, right, they could be counterproductive in having a negative impact on what everyone thinks is your best interest. And so that communication is really, really important, because we're seeing things that the CPAs aren't, and vice versa. And so everyone needs to get on the same page to make sure that your best interest is being served going forward.
Yeah, there's nothing worse than finding out that it was a $2,000 overage that got you smacked with Irma, or it was, that's how close sometimes the numbers are.
Or less.
And if you are not coordinating with a CPA on this and you're off ever so slightly, again, I'm not saying it's permanent, because obviously there's things you can do, but for that tax year,
You're in. You know, I mean, you can appeal it, but it's a once in a lifetime, literally one time in your life where you can appeal that.
Well, again, when it comes to doing Roth conversions, there's a form called SSA 44 that Social Security, this is mainly when you're relating it specifically to an income-related change that would affect your Medicare. There is a form that can be completed that says, hey, I did a Roth conversion last year, and it's a one-time deal, I'm not going to be doing it again. Or if you're going to do it for 3 years in a row and then you're done, you file that form, and that lowers that Medicare to what it would normally be at the income level that you're projecting for that given year. So it's important that you also know there are some of this information. There are tools.
So Leanne's our Social Security guru.
I am not.
And really, and this is important too, because, you know, one of the things that we're finding, right, because we're talking about income, is Social Security, right? That spousal, well, the Biden administration, they released the WEP offset. So now you're eligible to receive Social Security or half of your spouse's if you don't have enough credits. But we see that we've seen a couple of these where the Social Security Administration, I know everyone's going to be shocked, they made some mistakes. And so they're not receiving that full spousal benefit, which is...
Well, again, it's just like anything else. Bad information in is going to be bad information out.
That's right.
So it's just a matter of confirming when you first start receiving the income. It's when you make that phone call back and say, I was not expecting it to be this little. Can I confirm my numbers? That phone call is going to be imperative. Sometimes they'll answer it right off the bat and you'll get into the location. Sometimes they're going to make you set an appointment. It's going to actually be contingent upon the representative you get on the phone at the time. Sometimes you'll get all those questions answered and it was a 10-minute phone call. Sometimes it's going to be 3 weeks and you might not find out the information until that scheduled appointment. But I am going to say, when you first turn on your Social Security, do not just assume those numbers are what they are and move forward. Always verify. It's just important that you go back, you verify the information that was put in, you verify the information that you provided so that you make sure that that is indeed the amount of Social Security that you're supposed to be receiving, the withholding is correct, all of that.
Isn't that the old Carpenter rule? Measure twice, cut once,
that's
right?
Yep.
Check,
exactly.
Recheck, and then check again. And so why are we going over this over and over again? It's because it's that time of year, right? This is when you should be creating that paycheck for next year, and it is about cash flow. We talk about this. Someone asked me, why is the income plan so important? It doesn't matter whether you have $500,000, $1 million, or $5 million, $10 million. Everyone has the same thing, right? Can I live at the level that I'm accustomed to? I mean, that's really what it comes down to. And what it does is it gives them the ability to say, okay, using math, right? Because it's always true. It never lies. Okay, perfect. This now makes sense. You've got to make sure that you're not overstating the returns. Actually, you should probably dumb those down. Make sure that the inflation factors in each budget component are reflective and accurate, and, you know, all the way across the board. And then, you know, we kind of look at our job is, look, the game isn't, and it may be for some, right? How much can I leave behind? How much can I die with? And some people are like, you know what?
It's about legacy. It
is about legacy. And they don't want to spend anything, right? Because that's what they're used to. And so sometimes they look to us to give them permission, not to spend their money, but give them permission to say they have the ability to spend the money and enjoy life. Because they're almost afraid to.
Well, and I will end my little soapbox by just saying... I was one of those people early on that never wanted to be involved in the budget discussions, but it becomes much, much easier when you, and also there's a little bit of a caveat to that. I think a lot of people right now, I'm going to use the water bill as an example.
Oh my goodness. But when one month used to equal 3 months, I mean,
we all know, both with electricity and with water here in Ohio, we know how they've gone up. It's 18%, I think, for water. And that's just because I've been dialing in on it. But the reason I'm going to bring it up is if you don't really know what's going out, let's just say you have everything set up on auto bill pay. All right. A lot of people do that. They don't really pay attention to the monthly until they get to the very end and they go, oh, crap, I spent $1,000 more than I thought I was going to spend.
In 1 month.
It is imperative to start looking at those numbers because they make mistakes too.
Yeah.
And sometimes the number for your water bill that was $396 for 3 months and it's now $306 for 1 month, it's not exactly right.
Yeah. So. Yeah. Just so you know, that was us. yeah. And I looked at that bill and I said, holy shnikey, are you kidding me? And I said, really? For 3 months? That's not bad. She's like, no, that's last month.
Well,
like,
they changed from quarterly to monthly.
To monthly.
So again, I know there are a lot of people that I'm going to tell you more months than not that I don't analyze my gas bill. I see if it was different than the usage of the previous year. That's about as dial in as I get. But I do know what I spend on those utilities throughout.
Yes, you do. And if we can negotiate, we will. I don't believe in retail.
No.
I think everybody should be able to be negotiated with, right? That's my rule of thumb. Leanne won't go shopping with me.
No. Anyway. All right. If you have any questions or if you need more information or if you, again...
Just want an income plan.
That's exactly right. Give us a call at the office at 614 614- 526-4118, or you can contact us through the website. The website is egsifinancial.com. You can send an email to info@egsifinancial.com, and we will get back to you. And I thank you, Ed, very much.
Thanks, Leanne.
You tested your fitness level, not your workout routine. I'm talking about your financial endurance. Because if saving to a 401k is the extent of your effort, it is time for you to start shaping up. And Ed Sedell is here to help you do that with the Retirement Trainer. It's his podcast to help you examine your financial stamina and learn the questions you should be asking and areas to focus on to help you get to that place you've been working so hard for, a happy, comfortable retirement. And it's not as hard as some might have made you believe. Ed's broken it down into 5 simple steps. It's the Retirement Fitness Plan, which he personally created to help clarify key areas of your financial life. Learn more about the Retirement Fitness Plan at egsifinancial.com. Then subscribe, follow, and listen to the Retirement Trainer on Apple Podcasts, your iHeart app, or whichever podcast platform you prefer. Investment advisory services offered through EGSI Investment Management, DBA EGSI Financial Group, a registered investment advisor. Insurance and annuities offered through EGSI Financial Services, Inc., Ohio License Number 102-06-19.